Here's something I didn't know, Doc. Gordon Wilson says they actually have an internal transmitter. So if you bring headphones to the rink, they broadcast on FM 107.5. So you can actually hear the radio call as you watch the game. Did not know that. That's pretty neat.
You don't have to hear the person yelling beside you in your ear.
Well, you could probably hear a little of both.
Yeah.
But don't be antisocial, Doc. It's time to go back to normal. Well, normal-ish. Normal-ish. Yeah. Got to keep the mask on and be a little careful if you're going to the game tonight.
Sure.
So, yeah, good to have you on today. I know you're not going to the game tonight, though, are you?
No, I'm not.
Hmm. Is that COVID fear or just...
No, I just usually don't. It's too much time out of my day to do that. To drive all the way to go and then to drive back. It's just too much time for me.
I'm going to take you to a game this season, Doc.
Okay.
I am vowing to do that. I don't want to pay for the tickets, though. I think someone at the station.
How magnanimous of you!
Someone at the station should treat us. That's what should happen. The CAO emergency department has been hit with a wave of young people. Is this directly related to COVID or indirectly related to COVID or not at all?
It's indirectly related to COVID. And we see this is happening because we get a lot of reports from the emergency room for our patients that have been to the emerge for colds or RSV, which is another respiratory infection. So it's very, very common to see. Usually you see this a bit later on in the year. But I think part of the reason is that children... It sounds strange, but didn't have the opportunity to contract the regular colds and cold viruses earlier on because of the restrictions and the public health measures that limited contact. And so you have a lot of children who have never been exposed or at least have had minimal exposure to these viruses. And so as a result of that, you now have kids congregating in school and more likely to spread and contract the viruses. So you're seeing a much greater number earlier because of that.
You know what the anti-vaxxers are going to say now, right? That's why you don't get vaccinated. You go out, you get exposed to COVID, you build your immunity the natural way. It's more powerful. If it's true for the common cold or RSV, why isn't it true for COVID?
Yeah, so the difference is the common cold isn't going to kill you or give you long COVID. COVID is going to do that. And there are children that are dying from it as well. Now, you know, there's a tendency to minimize the impact on children. Well, right now in Canada, or at least in Ontario, it's 100 per 100,000 for children getting sick, which is, you know, 20 to 30 is usually when you worry about infections, and it's at 100. So, and children are getting sick and dying and being hospitalized and we tend to minimize that, say children weather the storm, but how many children have to go through that, right? That's the issue. And to me, that's just too many. So
I allow myself one stupid question an hour, and I usually take liberties with that. But here's my stupid question. Okay. I have two kids. They're now teenagers.
Right.
And they've had every common cold imaginable and lots of trips to CHEO for injuries and other hospitals. Why have I never heard of RSV? What the hell is it? I read about it everywhere now.
Yeah, it's a very common virus. They may have even had this earlier on in their lives, but didn't have a severe case of it, and so you thought it was just more of a cold, and they went through that. But RSV can be a severe infection, especially for younger children. So you're talking about infants or toddlers, where it has a greater effect on their respiratory system and can give them, you know, a lot of difficulty breathing. So
is it more common or something than it used to be?
I don't think it's more common. I just think it's now more, it's just you can test for it and you can recognize what it is. They're trying to develop a vaccine against it as well for young children to reduce morbidity. So it's nothing really new. It's just, I think it's being more, people are being made more aware of it because now you have, especially with COVID and you have other, you know, people are more attuned to infections that you're trying to differentiate as well what the infection was. So people are being tested for this. Or children being tested for this in the process of, you know, they come in and they've got COVID-like symptoms. Well, they're also being checked for that as well.
PJ, I'm getting texts from people saying they could barely hear the doc. Could you just turn up his volume a little bit? So with CHEO, going back to where we started from, are they at a point where they're having difficulty handling how busy it is? Or are they just a little concerned that it's getting busy and they don't want to reach the breaking point?
Well, part of it is that they're having a lot of people show up and they have to still employ safety measures, distancing and such. So there, and there's limited space within the hospital. So trying to manage that is what is difficult. They are able to see the patients, and under normal circumstances, usually can process that number of patients. Still difficult. It's not a matter of minimizing the effort that goes into seeing all these patients, but it's the added extra managerial and infrastructure strains that are going on that make it a bit difficult for them.
I see a lot of jurisdictions now are already planning for the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine for kids over 5 and under 12. What's your sense of how quickly we can do that? Is that something that you, I feel like we should be able to move very fast because we've already done this general rollout, but we've also pulled back a lot of the mechanisms, right? All the clinics that we had open. And there's a lot of kids in that age group. We're going to have to vaccinate a lot of people very quickly.
Yeah, so ideally, I think you'd want to try and do something like this in the schools because that's where all the kids are going to be. Right? So it's a lot easier to go where people are, in this case where children are, as opposed to trying to bring them to different places. But that being said, I think you can do a combination of schools. We've seen how quickly they can now ramp up, and the experience is there now. It's not as if you're starting from scratch. So you can start up the mass vaccination clinics in certain areas and book appointments online. That's all been sort of tried and true right now. So I don't think it'll be too difficult to get that going. But ultimately, I think being able to do that in school, just like they do for other vaccinations, right? They do that for hepatitis B, meningitis, HPV. So that's what public health does. So I don't see that being a big stretch to add that in as well as a means of trying to capture as many children, capture in the good sense, capture as many children in that cohort to be able to vaccinate them all.
I drove my mother-in-law to one of the very first clinics here in Ottawa, and I took my kids and I went myself. I got to tell you, I was really impressed. I did pharmacies for AstraZeneca, but I was really impressed with how organized and smooth the whole thing. I don't know if it's the same across the country, but in Ottawa, public health here did a great job. You know what amazed me though, Doc?
Yeah.
How many times, for the kids, both times, it was a physician who gave them the shot. And I kept asking, wow, so you're a doctor. What are you doing here? Well, I'm just volunteering my time.
Yeah.
As hard as those doctors must all have been working, middle of a pandemic and online and stuff, a lot of physicians gave up their time to do that. Very impressive. We owe a huge thanks to our entire medical community with the way we've handled this thing. That's for sure.
Yeah, the really professional job. And I went to one of the vaccination centers. There's one in near Canterbury. And very quick, in and out, 15 minutes, it was done. Very, very well done, very well organized. So that's what I'm saying. The infrastructure and the experience is now there. So you're not starting up from a cold start. And so I think it should be a relatively straightforward procedure to be able to ramp up and be able to provide vaccinations for children.
Coming soon. Thanks, Doc.
You're very welcome, Bill.
Medical Myth Busting, Dr. Barry Dworkin, host of Sunday House Call, Sunday afternoons at 3 on News Talk 580 CFRA. We'll talk about the sexist moment at City Council in Ottawa yesterday. I had a question mark in my voice when I said that. That's on purpose. I do very few things by accident, except clear my throat when the microphone switch is broken. It's the Morning Rush. Good morning. I'm Bill Carroll.